So good morning, everyone, and welcome. This is Romola Dee from Romola Dee Reports, and I'm doing a news break this morning with a very distinguished guest. This is Dr. Jane Ruby, and she has recently exploded on the media scene lately with all of her information about magnetic nanoparticles. And that's certainly going to be a subject of our discussion this morning, along with a few other subjects related to the dangers of the COVID vaccines. But I want to give a little brief a bio of Dr. Jane Ruby to start with. She has a very interesting background. It's both in media and in health. She has doctoral degrees in education and psychology, as well as two master's degrees in
Nursing.
international health economics. She is a Washington, D.C. based television personality, New Right political pundit, film producer, author of A Sea of New Media. She's hosted several television shows such as Dr. Jane's D.C. and Inside Look TV magazine. Her book, A Sea of New Media, I understand, is a focus on citizen journalism and the rise of social media. So I'm so pleased to make your acquaintance and to welcome you onto the show this morning. Good morning, Dr. Ruby.
Good morning, and thank you for having me, Ramola. It's great to be here.
Lovely to have you on. First of all, Dr. Ruby, perhaps you might want to elaborate a little bit on your medical background and your research background, because I understand you do a lot of research. You look at the medical literature, and how did you even come upon this whole subject of magnetic nanoparticles? What kind of triggered you to look into this?
Both great questions. First, a little more on my background. I have spent the last 20 years in pharmaceutical drug development, so I'm very familiar with the process of bringing drugs through preclinical, to, which is animals in petri dishes, to the human realm of research. There's a whole process that has been in place since the beginning that leads to drug development. And before that, I was a clinical practitioner in acute care settings like hospitals and ICU. So you put that together. And it really lends itself to some of the topics, unfortunately, that are occurring right now. In terms of the magnetofection process that I came upon, it all started with these anecdotal reports from people that are continuing to grow and multiply exponentially. People finding that metal objects are sticking to their bodies. Initially, it was just to the injection site in their arm where they were injected with these injections, which are not vaccines, by the way, by any definition. And
Right.
then people started to report that they were happening, the attraction with the metal was happening in other parts of their body. I'm a person who respects the difference between anecdotal reports and scientific data. So I said to myself that for so many people to be experiencing this, there could be something, an explanation in terms of physics or some kind of science. So I started to research and found this process of magnetofection, which really is through using a magnetic field, adding a particular type of substance or chemical to the lipid nanoparticle, which envelops the mRNA encoding message, to drive it into the cells and to bypass natural barriers that the body sets up. You know, everything is not supposed to go anywhere in your body. It's a brilliant, brilliant design that protects us. One of the most famous barriers is the blood-brain barrier. Everyone has heard about that. And that is because not everything should get through to your brain. It's highly protected, as you can understand, in the body. But these lipid nanoparticles, through their lipophilic or fat-loving coating, also can be constructed with other chemicals. And so I found this company called Chemicell in Berlin, and I found many others. But this particular company was interesting to me because they had a very sophisticated website of many, many types of chemicals that you could purchase, researchers could purchase to create this magnetofection reaction. It's interesting because on their website they have a disclaimer saying it is not for human use and it is not safe to be used in drug development. So with that, that just became an incredible revelation, and it resonated with a lot of folks publicly.
Absolutely. And you know, that's Very interesting, because it appears it's not just that one company. There are other companies doing the same kind of thing that are selling these magnetic, what are they, iron oxide particles, nanoparticles that are being sold and also sold in specific solutions and so forth, so that researchers can use them, as you say, in gene editing or gene therapies of different
Yes.
kinds.
And I wanted to add one other thing. I have not, and I don't believe any other scientists have made a direct connection between the magnetofection process and these phenomena that we're seeing in public where people are having metal objects sticking to them. I fear that it could be the result of a greater issue where there are maybe the electromagnetivity around us with all of the devices and all of the new 5G, that this could be affecting human beings. So I'm not sure it's just this particular process, because we're also getting a significant number of reports daily from people who have not accepted these injections, have not gotten jabbed at all, and they're reporting and showing on social media that they're experiencing this attraction with metal objects. So, I like to stay with the science until we can put the pieces together. But it surely looks suspicious that magnetofection being added to the process of creating the lipid nanoparticle to get these mRNA processes to every part of the body is playing a role. And I say that because there have been studies subsequently that are looking, even in autopsy, looking at body parts like the ovaries that are showing high concentrations of the spike proteins, which is what these mRNA molecules are directing your body to create in the billions once you're injected.
That's right. I guess there's so many studies coming out right now. I guess the one that Dr. Byron Bridle exposed, the biodistribution study from the Pfizer trials in rats, I guess, that also discovered that the mRNA, the lipid nanoparticles, were found all over the body, right? The pituitary gland, the testes, the ovaries, the liver, various organs, etc. So if the lipid nanoparticles are mixed in with these, iron oxide particles, what is your assessment from your understanding of these kinds of materials, iron oxide, tiny little particles of iron oxide distributed all over the human body? What are some of the dangers that you can sort of assess from that?
Well, I'm not an expert in really the behavior of the nanoparticles, but what I'm seeing in the science is that because it is the magnetofection process in these nanoparticles that is providing the ability to get this into every cell in the body, what I'm concerned about is that we're going to have a slew of all kinds of autoimmune diseases, different types of diseases that are related to the toxicity of these spike. These are synthetic spikes, by the way. These are not spike proteins that are occurring naturally in around the corona of a virus. And so I'm afraid that if they're getting into unlimited areas of the body, we're going to start seeing in the next 18 to 24 months a lot of, especially with boosters, if people fall for that as well, we're going to start seeing all kinds of diseases. And there's going to be such variety in the diseases that people aren't going to recognize it right away. The public is not going to recognize it. We are going to see it. We're predicting it, and we want people to be aware of this so that when it starts to happen, you'll know that this is probably part of what's going on. My concern is that this mRNA encoding does not have a turnoff mechanism. We haven't seen any proof of that. We can't get the companies to respond to questions around that. And that if there's no turnoff mechanism, eventually it's going to overwhelm the body. The body's logically trying to get rid of these particles. And so we have found in some other studies broken particles of these synthetic spike proteins in high concentrations in body materials like feces. That's a predominant place. So when people say to me, what can I do to protect myself? Right now, if I had to reach, I would say if you have a spouse or a partner or someone, a family member, whatever that you live with, if you have two bathrooms and they have been injected and you have not, I would at least for a time use separate bathrooms exclusively, because there is an aerosolization of fecal
Oh, wow.
material when you flush the toilet. Normally not harmful, because we do have protective mechanisms, but this spike and its particles are the pathogenic part of this inoculation, as well as in a natural setting of a coronavirus, the spikes are the the disease-producing element that make you sick. So we want to be careful until we know more. And that's about the most I could say about a recommendation to be careful. I want to be responsible to the science until we know more.
Thank you. That's very, very helpful information. I also wanted to ask you about all of the incidences of heart inflammation that we are seeing, and that, you know, apparently the CDC has sort of set up and taken notice, and they held one meeting on June 10th. They were planning another meeting today, but you have some news about that, so perhaps you can share that with our viewers. And, you know, what do you think about the CDC's looking at this? I mean, they haven't made any conclusions from their first meeting. They've just stated that they want to continue looking at this, and they are going to look at a benefit risk assessment, etc. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, I've lost all faith in the CDC. To me, it's just another vaccine company. They actually hold 58 patents, and they're really dragging their heels on this myocarditis. I wanted to also add that in my medical training, we were allowed to choose a specialty, and mine was surgical and medical cardiology. So I do have a bit of experience in this. And the reason I wanted to talk about the myocarditis, it started to rear its head as a signal, a safety signal in Israel. As you know, they've inoculated almost 3/4 of their population, and I fear that they may have sterilized. That's yet to come. They're doing a study on ovarian reserve because the spike proteins are concentrating in the ovaries. But the issue of myocarditis came out initially, the signal, like I said, in April from Israel in young people. It didn't make any sense. Young, previously healthy people with no cardiac history. Now we're seeing it explode in the United States. And the reason myocarditis is incredibly important, it's very dangerous. It's never considered mild. There's nothing mild about myocarditis. It's an inflammation of the heart muscle, which can cause cardiac irritability. Anything that disturbs that delicate balance, you know, the heart is made up of a muscle, but it is controlled by pacing nodes, pressure systems. It's highly sophisticated. If you cause an inflammation of that tissue, you can end up with permanent damage, fibrosis and sclerosis, which is scarring, and down the road, you know, problems with cardiac function. And in the immediate period, it can result in dangerous and deadly arrhythmias, where the heart just beats out of sync, and that can lead to a rapid ventricular tachycardia, which is just a fast pace, your lower chambers, which is the workhorse of the heart on the left, can turn into, you know, fibrillation, and then the heart just stops. So it's very, very dangerous. It's not to be taken lightly. And I want to make mention of something, Romola. Years ago, I worked for a company. I launched, out of many, many famous drugs, the antidepressant Lexapro, which came from another very famous parent antidepressant called Celexa. Prior to my getting to the company, my understanding was that when Celexa was going through animal studies, 6 beagle dogs died of heart attacks spontaneously after being given the drug. And they shut that program down for 2 years. The FDA made them, when it was a legitimate organization, made them go back and study that. They found that it was a genetic rarity in the beagle dog only, no other animals, no other dogs, and they were allowed to resume it. And then when they got to humans, they had a very careful safety study and everything was fine. The reason I'm telling you this story is that here was a potentially billion dollar drug shut down for 2 years because 6 dogs died. We now have a VAERS reporting system, which is self-reporting, although the Harvard study tells us what the numbers we see there are only 1% or less of what we're seeing. But if we take those numbers currently at face value, there are about 6,000 deaths in the United States immediately connected to these injections. What are we doing? We've shut down a study for 2 years for 6 dogs, and 6,000 people have died in the United States. And yet we're still being told it's safe and effective. Doctors are walking around like zombies, pushing this on children and everybody, regardless if they're pregnant, if they're already immune compromised. It's pure insanity, and it's got to stop.
Thank you for spelling that out. It is absolutely horrifying what is going on. If I just look at the data today, you know, this is from the June 5th weekly reporting at the VAERS database. 1,087 myocarditis, pericarditis incidences, 2,190 heart attacks, 5,888 deaths, 58 1,800 office visits, 19,597 hospitalizations, 15,052 severe allergic reactions, 1,562 thrombocytopenia, and it goes on. You know, there's urgent care anaphylaxis, Bell's palsy, all in the thousands. This sounds so excessive and so extreme. It is really, really shocking that they haven't called a halt to the vaccines. And, you know, a lot of doctors' groups are indeed calling for it. The UK Medical Freedom Alliance, various doctors. I know. Yeah. Thank you for speaking out, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Dr. Kerry Madej. Dr. Roger Hodgkinson also made remarks about this vaccine possibly affecting known cancer genes, right? Sort of activating, possibly likely to activate cancer in the future. So what are your thoughts on that? I mean, the news is so bad. If it's going to affect fertility, it's creating heart attacks, arrhythmias, damaging the heart muscle, is it also likely to create that cancer burden in the body?
I'm not an oncology expert. I take his word at that, but I wouldn't be surprised. This is a gene modifying treatment that people are subjecting themselves to. And I want to clarify, and I want to also go on the record and say, this is not a vaccine. A vaccine confers immunity to a particular element and antigen like a virus. This does nothing of that sort. This injects into your body, which proliferates all over your body, a messenger RNA direction to your DNA to replicate the spike protein and then infiltrate your entire body. So it is not by any stretch of any definition a vaccine. We all get caught up in calling it that because they've managed to add that moniker. And so people are lulled into a sense of safety, false safety, because they think they're getting something protective. They've lined up, they've tripped over themselves like lemmings to get this. And I fear they're going to do that with boosters. You should be very suspicious of boosters because it just will solidify or continue to prime your body to destroy your own natural immune system. What this spike protein does is it interferes with the ACE2 receptor for anyone who's scientifically or medically trained. And so it competes with that receptor and you lose a lot of your protective immune ability and power. So you're really getting poisoned at the same time your own immune system is being dampened down. It's the worst of all possible cases. I shudder to think what the intention was for this, but I want people to be careful. I've become known for this hashtag, just wait. You have nothing to lose by waiting and everything to gain. There have not been enough studies in human beings. This is not safe and effective. That is a legal term that the FDA issues based on a company submitting a certain level of data and data integrity, and that has not been done in this case. Please just wait.
Thank you so much for your information, Dr. Ruby. Any last words about children in particular? Because as you know, they're ramping up to give the vaccine to children. They are ramping up to do COVID testing in schools for kindergartners, for elementary schools, middle schools. I mean, this is horrifying. They are looking ahead, it seems like, into a future of constant testing and constant vaccinating and booster shots, as you mentioned. What might you advise parents of children? What should parents do?
Parents should be incredibly infuriated, protect their children, and do not let this happen. Healthy people should not be tested, okay? Healthy, asymptomatic people should not be getting swabs up their nose. And secondly, we can't trust, it's a whole other issue for another show, but we cannot trust the PCR tests. Even the Dr. Carrie Mullins, who developed the test, admitted that if you cycle it around and around, you will eventually find anything you're looking for because it becomes less and less accurate. I've often said that the PCR test can detect COVID in a ham sandwich because there's protein in there. And I don't mean to be flippant about it, but it is actually true. So secondly, with regard to children, this is a flu. First of all, children don't get the flu very often. And when they do, they hardly have any symptoms and they're they readily recover. This is a flu in children with an almost 100% recovery rate. Why would you subject your children to a gene changing therapy that they're going to have to bear the burden of for the rest of their lives if they live an entire lifetime after this for a flu with a 100% recovery rate? And parents have to take their schools by the throat and say, no more. And if you have to homeschool, do it. These are your children. You're charged by God with protecting them to their adulthood, and you should do it. And I get very passionate about it, Romola, because the children are vulnerable. They're innocent. They're not sick. I think when we talk about children being tested, for the first thing I wanted to mention was we should stop testing healthy people, and especially children, healthy, asymptomatic children. Children do not get the flu very often, and when they do, it's very mild. And they certainly don't need a gene therapy that could damage them for the rest of their lives. The thing I wanted to say about the PCR tests themselves is we have to be very, very careful. Even the inventor of the test, Dr. Carrie Mullins, stated that the test can be made, if you run it through enough cycles, it can be made to find anything that you set it for. So we have to be very, very careful. It's not a conclusive test. I've often said you could find COVID in a ham sandwich with a PCR test. And I don't mean to be flip about it, but if there's enough protein somewhere, the test will pick it up. So I wanted parents to be very careful. Take your schools by the, by the shoulder and say, stop this insanity. I don't want my child tested, and I certainly don't want my child inoculated with a gene therapy. The PCR tests produce tremendous false positives, and I'm afraid that that's where these crazy case numbers are coming from, which ended up justifying a lot of authorities across the United States, Canada, and the world, and to go into their emergency, powers, which grant them, all kinds of powers over the citizenry. So the PCR test is unreliable. It's dangerous. It's making a ton of money for its current kit manufacturers, but it's not reliable for COVID. In fact, no one's ever isolated the COVID virus, regardless of what you think you see on social media. And so if you have never isolated a virus, you certainly can't develop something that's reliably testing for it. I hope that helps.
That really helps. Thanks so much, Dr. Ruby. It sounds like the basic information is, don't get the test, don't get your child tested, and don't get the vaccine. There are just too many complications we're seeing. It's really, really dangerous from everything we're hearing. So thank you for spelling all of that out today. Any last words before we leave for this morning?
Just, if people want to follow my continued educational presentations, I'm on the Stu Peters Show 2 or 3 times a week. I have a Telegram, Dr. Jane Ruby. Everything, all of my social media is the same. It's Dr. Jane Ruby. And so, follow me. I'm on Patreon. I do this as a labor of love to save my fellow humans. So it does take resources. And if anyone's interested, you could become a patron on Patreon. That's, again, Dr. Jane Ruby. So thank you for having me on, and just spread the word. Just wait. If you've taken one shot, don't take the second one. If you're thinking about it, don't do it. If you're thinking of having a family someday, you're a young person, don't rely on TikTok and 30-second snippets. Look into the science and just wait. All I can say is just wait.
Thank you so much, Dr. Jane Ruby. We are very grateful for your work. Thanks, everybody, for watching, and have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Romola.